Thank you, Wayne and Lisa, for the beautiful music. It is good to be here on this Sunday morning to worship together again. Good to be back. Thank you for all your prayers, and we had a good time traveling. It was our 40th anniversary last month. That's where we wanted to go somewhere to celebrate that. So we had 2 weeks of good time. It was cold out there in Iceland, but that's what it is. Iceland is cold. They said that Iceland is cold and Greenland is frozen. It's up still now. So we went to both places. It was very good. And I was able to sign in to the worship last Sunday. Yeah, and there were not too many people here. Probably it's the holiday weekend. I'm glad that we are all able to join back again here to worship together. God has given us another day to live. Can you all hear me? Norman can't hear you. You lost your ear. It's at home.
I'm sorry.
Can you hear me now?
No. Yeah.
A little bit.
Is that speaker on?
It's working. Yeah, speak.
I can hear you good.
Oh, you can hear? Oh, okay, good. Miss Lou, good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So, it's good to be back, and let us worship together, God. God has given us one more day to live in this world, and let us be thankful for that with all the blessings that we receive. Turn with me to the announcements in the second page. Those are our regular announcements. Let us continue with the food bank ministry. It helps with children in our community and the families that are needy in our communities, and also the books we are also using for the Piedmont missions. Our cooking class and our art classes will be scheduled as we get volunteers. And the third Thursday luncheon will be on September 19th at 1 p.m. Please join for a time of lunch and fellowship at the Golden Corral. You probably all have a copy of that financial statements, the media financial statements that I passed out. I just wanted to briefly touch base on this. We had a good year last year, but this year we are running behind a little bit. We replaced the air conditioning unit, and you know that. Even with that, we are still about $4,000 behind for the first six months. And our donations, if you look at it, has gone down, basically because of the attendance, I think. So one suggestion that I have or I experienced was that instead of making a donation every week, maybe pledge a monthly donation and make it for the month. So even if you are not here, at least you will get that donation during that month. So think about it and pray about it and make a monthly commitment. And some people already do that. They only do once a month, but they make it for the whole month. So whatever is convenient for you, but even if you are not here, we still have to run the utilities and everything. So please keep that in our mind as we go forward, continue to pray for our ministry and the future of the church. And I hope you had a good time last Sunday with Pastor Robertson. He's a very nice guy, very well educated. He's a lawyer, and he's working the staff of one of the Supreme Court judges in the state of Georgia. And also, he's a MDiv from Wesleyan. So that makes a lot. So he's a good guy, so I try to bring him in more so we can get some different perspective as we go forward with the future of the church. We take our donations on our website. Please use that opportunity as well. Thank you for your continued and faithful support of the ministries of this church by your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. Let us continue faithfully to do the work that God has given us to do. If you all have noticed or haven't noticed that there's a little leak on that concrete walkway that we walked through, the Hispanic folks called me about it, so they are going to work on it. So if you happen to see that, there might be a leak somewhere. It's not that bad, but they are going to work on it and get it fixed. What a blessing it is to have somebody like that to take care of our property. Let us be thankful for that also. Are there any other announcements? Good morning, Miss Lou. Thanks for
joining. Good morning.
Good morning. I like your hair scarf.
Thank you.
If there are no other announcements, let us worship God together. As you all know, Miss Jean McBrayer is in the hospital, but we went and saw her yesterday. Wayne did too. And she's doing much better than I thought, so she may have to spend some time in the rehab. Please keep her in our prayers, but she's in good spirits. If there are no other announcements, let us worship, continue worshiping God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn, hymn number 140, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Almighty and eternal God, we thank you for your grace and mercy every day, that you give us all the things that we need in our life, the good health and strength that we enjoy in our bodies, the houses we live, the cars we drive, the jobs that we have, and all the material and spiritual blessings that we enjoy are from you and from you alone. And we thank you for all those blessings that you give us, Lord, and continue to pour upon us. We thank you for this opportunity above all to come together in your name to worship you, Lord. The opportunity that you gave us together through your Son, Jesus Christ, because of whom that we have eternal life, so that we can come and call you Father. We thank you again for this time and this opportunity. Bless us today, Lord, with your presence when we marvel at your majesty. Help us to glorify your name and lift your name up. Thank you for your protection, love and care. And we thank you for your grace and redemption that you have shown to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless us today with your presence, O God, in our singing, in our prayers, and the meditation of the word and everything that we do here, Lord. Bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is our fellowship time now. Please get up and greet each other in Christian love.
Okay, for our congregation choice today, it's one that Carol chose. It's entitled Majesty. Page 176, if you just remain standing, we will sing Majesty. Page 176.
Jace, it's on the screen. Where is it? I put it up on the screen. Yeah, there you go. It's on the screen. Responsive reading is taken from Psalm 8, verses 1 through 9. It's found on page 743 in your blue hymnal. If you are able, please stand. How majestic is your name in all the earth.
Your glory is chanted above the heavens by mouth of the babes and infants.
You have set up a defense against your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger.
When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers,
the moon and the stars which you have established.
What are human beings that you are mindful of them?
And mortals that you care for them.
Yet you have made them little less than God,
and crowned them with glory and honor.
You have given them dominion over the works of your hands.
You have put all things under their feet,
all sheep and oxen,
and also the beasts of the field,
the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea.
Whatever passes along the paths of the seas.
O Lord, our Lord.
How majestic is your name in all the earth.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. It's sharing our prayers of blessings and concerns at this time as a church congregation. We share our prayers of blessings first, and we thank God for the blessings that we receive in our lives. And also we share our prayers of concerns and burdens. between each other and also with God together, and lift them up to the throne of grace of God, trusting in God's promise that God will answer our prayers according to His will and His time. The regular prayer requests are at the back of the bulletin, in those boxes listed there. As I have shared with Jean's status now, she's doing much better. She may have to go to a rehab place after the hospital, maybe tomorrow, and hope she doesn't have to spend a lot of time there. But she's in good spirits. We visited her. Continue to pray for her and her family. And pray for Barbara, Casey, Harry Basil, Carol, and Claudia Sinclair, Jerry Rains, Lou. Lou is online with us. So let us continue to pray for these people for healing and strength in their faith. Pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, our grocery clerks, delivery people, many, many others who help us and make things happen in our daily lives every day. So let us be thankful for their services and keep them in our prayers for their safety and their family's safety. Let us pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and all the leaders, especially during this election year, that we will have a peaceful election and a united country, that the right people will be elected at the right places. So let us pray for those leaders and our country. Pray for the world and the world leaders, and as they make decisions, that they will fear God when they make decisions that can bring peace to this world. And pray for those who are affected by war and wars and many other problems around the world, that God will bring peace to those areas. Let us pray for our church and all the churches in this community, that God will help us to do His work faithfully with the opportunities that God has given us to do, to share His love and care and compassion to the needy people around us. So let us be thankful for this time and the opportunity, and also be faithful for the work that God has given us to do. Let us pray for the leaders of the church, the pastors, and all those who work in God's vineyard to do their responsibilities and works faithfully. Those are the regular prayer requests that I wanted to bring out for your regular prayers. Any special call-outs and prayers or blessings that you want to share? We want to pray for the families that are affected by the shooting, and it's getting close to home. And it was always somewhere else. Now it's in Georgia. It's not very good. So let us pray that God will bring a solution to these situations, especially our next generation, our kids. Let us earnestly pray that God will guide them. And pray for those families who are affected by the death, and also that are injured and in the hospitals. Pray for them also. Anything else anybody want to share? If there are no other special prayer requests, let us go to God in prayer. We'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then we'll close with this summarized prayer after that. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things that you need will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to gather here in your name, to worship you and also to intercede for our needs and also others' needs. Thank you for the gift of life with all its joys and blessings, the good health and strength that we have in our bodies. Everything that we enjoy in our life in this world is from you, and we thank you for that. We thank you above all for every the eternal life that you have given through your Son Jesus Christ, as we can come before you and call you our Father. We come before you with our burdens and our concerns also, Lord. Many of us are broken in different ways, in bodies and in our souls and in our spirits. The ones that need healing, Lord, as we lift the names up, we pray for your healing upon them, especially Jean McPrayer, who is in the hospital. We pray for your grace upon her. Thank you for continuing to be with her and comforting her. Pray for her and all the caregivers, the nurses and doctors, and her family members who are caring for her. We pray for your grace upon them. Give them peace during this time as they are looking for a place for rehab. Give them the guidance to find the right place and also to have a time of rehab that will be beneficial for her to be back with us to worship together, Lord. Strengthen her in her body and her spirit. We pray for Harry also. We pray for your grace upon him, and he needs strength in his body. Pray for Jan. Bless both of them, Lord, with your grace and peace every day. We pray for Barbara, Casey, and Carol, and Lou. We pray for Claudia and Jerry Raines. We pray for all of these people that we have been praying regularly. We pray for your healing hand to touch them, Lord. Above all, we pray for peace in their lives, in their families' lives. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and all those who serve us on a daily basis. We thank you for their services every day. We pray for their safety and their family's safety, and we pray for your continued grace and mercy upon them. We pray for our nation as we go through an election year. We pray for your grace upon the leaders of this, political leaders. We pray for our president, leaders of the Congress, and governors, and many others who make decisions, that they will be guided by the wisdom of God, that they will fear God, that their decisions will bring good to the people and our country. We pray for this election, that we'll have a peaceful election without any issues or problems, that and we'll be united again after the election to lead the world as you have called us to do, Lord. Bless the leaders and the candidates who are running. And we pray for your grace upon all the people who work towards the election, so that we can have a peaceful election this time. We pray for our world leaders, especially during this time where there are many wars and internal struggles going on in many parts of the world. We pray for your grace and mercy on those areas, on those people. We pray for the world leaders when they make decisions that they will fear God and will bring peace to their decisions, Lord. We pray that your guidance be upon them every day. We pray for our church. Thank you for this opportunity that you have given us, Lord, to do your work in this community. Help us, Lord, to use the opportunities that you have given us to care for the needy, to comfort others who are in distress. Help us, Lord, to use all these opportunities that you give us faithfully, Lord, to share your love to others. Bless us as a church as we look forward to your guidance in the future. Bless all the churches in this community and pastors and the leaders. We pray that you will give them the grace and the guidance to be faithful in this community, to do the work that you have given them to do. We pray for our future and our worship today. Bless us with your presence today, Lord, that we can lift up your name in through your meditation of the word and the scriptures that we read today. Bring power of the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we can bring power to this world through our lives, Lord. Bless us, Lord, today in everything we do. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please.
Praise him.
Jesus said, give and it will be given to you, with a good measure pressed down, shaken down, together running over, will be poured out into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. God loves a cheerful giver. Loving God, we come before you with a portion of what you have blessed us with, Lord. You are the source of all that we have and we are. You are gracious and merciful every day that you give us everything from your open hands, Lord. Above all, help us to understand that in Jesus Christ you gave us everything more than we could ever deserve, the eternal life that we have with you. Gracious and loving God, we understand that you call us to be the stewards of your blessings. Help us to be faithful in taking care of your work in this world. We thank you for all those who were able to give joyfully today and pray for those who could not give today. Remember all of them in your love, O God. Bless and help us to use this offertory to share your love to this community and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we remain standing, we'll read the scripture now, which is taken from the book of Nahum, which is a very small book in the Bible, towards the end of the Old Testament portion of the book, chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. It will be on the screen as well.
The Lord is slow to anger, but great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. His way is in the whirlwind and the storm, and clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and dries it up. He makes all the rivers run dry. Bashan and Carmel wither, and the blossoms of Lebanon fade. The mountains quake before him, and the hills melt away. The earth trembles at his presence, the world and all who live in it. Who can withstand his indignation? Who can endure his fierce anger? His wrath is poured out like fire. The rocks are shattered before him. The Lord is good, a refuge in time of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word that you have given us and blessed us with so that we can experience the life and spirit through your word in our lives. And also when we receive your word, we become a source of blessing to others, to share your word to others, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be obedient and humble before your word. Illumine our souls so that we can see the meaning behind the message today. Let your name be lifted up and your people be blessed in everything we do here, Lord. In our words, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned before, the book of Nahum is a very small book in the Old Testament. A lot of times we don't read this book because it's way back in the Old Testament. And it is mostly about the judgment of God. And so a lot of preachers do not preach from this book either. So you may not hear a lot of messages on this book. It's only three chapters. And those are very small chapters. You can probably read the whole book in 2 minutes. But there's a history behind this. This is a prophecy or an oracle to the people in Nineveh. And you all know the story of Nineveh, where Jonah was called to go and preach, and he went to Tarshish instead. And then he was, all that things happened, and he went under the sea. And Lord rescued him from the sea through a fish. You know how the fish swallowed him and all of that stuff. The story, you all know that. So we are familiar with the story of Jonah. It is a continuation of this story through this prophet, Nahum, who lived about 100 years after Jonah. So even though Jonah went and preached later, as God told him, and people repented after his preaching, 100 years have passed. Nineveh was a very important city at that time of history. it was an intersection of a lot of highways and markets and traders. So it was a flourishing city, just like the capital of the world, the economic capital of the world during that time. Maybe we can compare that to modern day New York or things like that. So it was a very flourishing city. So a lot of people lived there, and a lot of wealthy people lived there. A lot of trade and culture intersect. So because of that, people became rebellious against God, and people forgot about God. And that is when, to nudge them to their spirit, God raises up several prophets, like Jonah. And after several, about 100 years after that, people still went back and became rebellious. Then Nahum started prophesying. So they were prophesying about the coming disaster that coming to them through their enemies. So be careful about your ways of life. Return to God and repent. That's what the message is. Mostly Nahum is about judgment of God coming. And he was prophesying about the Assyrians and the Persians coming and invading them and taking control of them and making them captive. That happened later on, but about 50 years after his prophecy, it did happen. So that is what the background of this book is, a very small book, but a very important book in the history of the people of God in the Old Testament. But the important thing about it is, even with the judgment and the sad news and the bad prophecies that he's making, along with all of those warnings that he is giving, he also mentions the mercy and the grace of God along with that. So when we read all of these things about the punishment of God coming to them, he also talks about the mercy and grace of God. Verse 7, we read, "The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him." And when he says that, he's also bringing out or portraying the greatness of God. And in a very poetic way, he says that his way is in the whirlwind and the storm, and clouds are the dust of his feet. You read that in verse 3. So his God's way is in the whirlwind and the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Like I said, we have been 2 weeks in Iceland, and it's always cloudy there. And we wanted to see the northern lights. That's one of the attractions in Iceland. But all the 12 or 14 days that we spent there were all cloudy and rainy. So there was no northern or southern light that we could see anywhere. So we came back without the lights. So I don't know about you, but I don't really like cloudy days because it's gloomy and it make you lazy. And also with my migraine, I get cloudy days or migraine days for me sometimes. So a lot of times cloudy days are considered to be bad, and many of us connect that to bad things about cloudy days. And if you have a series of several cloudy days, you always say that, when are we going to see the sun again? We look forward to the sunny days. So we would like to have sunny days, and we don't like the cloudy days. And there are studies medically done about the negative effects of cloudy days on our mind and our body. That's a real make us gloomy and sad. So we tend to speak of the beauty of any given day in relation to how much of the sun and the sky that we are able to see. So in this situation, but the prophet is saying that God's way is in the whirlwind and the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. When I read these things, the clouds are really good. We have to have clouds. We haven't had rain in a few weeks, few months now in our area. So a lot of lakes are drying up. So we need some rain. So in order to have rain, we need to have clouds. So clouds are good in some situations. Even though it brings darkness and gloom sometimes, but we need rain also. But when you talk about clouds, clouds are not just the clouds that we see. I mean, we know that the clouds bring rain, there's water vapor in there, that's the natural cloud. But if you take several different clouds, when we went to see the volcano, there's a big cloud on top of the volcano. It is not the regular cloud. It is the sulfur dioxide coming up. And you don't want to be near it. You don't even want to inhale one breath of it. It is poisonous. But that is what they deal with. Their cloud is different from our cloud. And depending on the wind that blows, that cloud can go anywhere. And it continues to blow up like that. So they are evacuating people based on the strength of that smoke or that cloud coming out of that volcano. While we were there, about 3,000 people were evacuated, and they continued to evacuate people. So that is, clouds are different, and clouds can bring various different things when we look at it. So there are dust clouds that form, and there are gaseous clouds, and there are rain clouds. But according to the scripture, right from the beginning to the end, when I looked at, clouds are considered to be blessing, because God appeared in the clouds in many places. When God appeared to the people of God of Israel in the clouds, that's what we read. And God appeared to Moses in the cloud. And when we look at the New Testament also, clouds are important and shows the presence of God, show the presence of God. Jesus was transfigured in the Mount of Transfiguration, and a big cloud appeared over him. And they heard the voice of God saying that, "This is my son, listen to him." So God's presence came through clouds in many parts in the Bible. And also we know that in the Revelation we read that the second coming of Christ, behold, he is coming back in the clouds. That's what it says in Revelation. And when Jesus was taken up after his death to the heavens, he was taken up in the clouds. And many, many other saints that we saw, like Elijah, was taken up in the clouds, and Elisha, prophets like that. So clouds are really a good part of our life if we look at it that way. Even though we may not like the real clouds and gloomy days, clouds are important, and clouds are bring blessings to our lives. But in this particular passage that we read, clouds are the dust of his feet. It's very poetic way that this prophet is saying. Clouds are the dust of God's feet. What does that mean? When I thought about it, times when our grandson comes to our home. And as soon as, if I was away and I come through the door, I can see his shoes, the mark of his shoes in the foyer there, and I can see Jude was here. That means the dust of his feet tells me that he has been there. That's what I thought when I read about this and say the clouds are the dust of God's feet. When we find ourselves facing with clouds and the gloomy days come and cover us and we don't feel good and we feel really sad and gloomy and say, when this cloud is not looking good, remember God's, the scripture says that the clouds are the dust of God's feet. That means that God is already there in the clouds. So the clouds are an important thing because it shows the presence of God in that. You remember the great flood. There was a big flood in Noah's time. And we all know that story. And it was filled with, the clouds filled the whole sky. And the rain started pouring down. And the water from the earth also started rising up. And there was a big, big flood. But in the midst of that cloud, finally there was a rainbow. That rainbow of promise that God gave his people, that even though you are threatened by the storms and the clouds, I am in the midst of that clouds. My presence of and promise are in the clouds if you look for them. So what do you do when you find yourselves with the whirlwind and the storm? Whirlwind and the storm, I don't have to tell you. Storms, some of them you can predict. They're coming. You know, we can actually predict some of them reasonably. But the whirlwind is, believe it's the tornado. Nobody can predict it. It comes all of a sudden and then whirls around wherever it goes and destroys everything on its path. And nobody can predict a tornado or a whirlwind. That's what it says. So whirlwinds and storms are going to be part of our lives. That is, and nobody is exempt from them. The rich or the poor, the weak and the powerful. Everybody, from the even the child to the oldest, everybody has some kind of storm that they have to face. Sometimes they can be real storms that we know is coming, like some of our health conditions. If I know I have blood pressure, I know there's going to be something's coming later on, or my heart condition. So we know that some of the storms coming ahead of us. We can predict some of them. But the whirlwinds or the tornadoes are some of them that we can never predict. And it changes our life 180 degrees like that in the moment, in the blink of an eye. Like I always say, that a doctor's appointment, that you go for a regular checkup, and that can change the whole life around to many people. And it did. And I know for sure that many of you have experienced it. So the whirlwind and the storms are realities in our lives. But in the midst of that, remember, it is also the presence of God that we can experience. If you look at our lives, when did you actually experience the power of God or the presence of God most in your lives? Is it in your good times, or is it in the worst of times? In my life, I experienced God's presence most powerfully, personally, when I went through the bad times in my life. That is when I look back and say, thank God for those times. When I look back, because you have been there with me, and I could experience your presence and your power in my life because of that. Even though I had to go through some pain, even though my family had to go through suffering, it doesn't matter. When I look back, I can always say that you were there with us, and we thank you for that. So that is why some of the great saints would always say that we would not trade our bad times for anything, because that is where we experienced most the presence of God in our lives. It is not my experience, it's everybody's experience. Especially we look at the experience of God's saints, the great people in the Bible. I mean, look at Abraham, look at David. We study the life of the prophets, Daniel, the three kids who were put in the fire by the king, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They all had to go through some painful experiences in their lives. But in the midst of that, they were able to experience the presence of God. Daniel was in the lion's den, and look, there was God's presence there, rescuing him. And the three children were, the three boys were put in the fiery furnace for their faith. And when the king came and looked to take out their bodies, they were seeing four people walking in the fire. What an amazing thing. So whenever we are going through storms and whirlwinds or tornadoes, like situations in our lives, remember, God's presence and God's power is in there. Not only He is present there, He is in control of it also. Remember that, because He made this universe. He created it, and He can control it. When the disciples were caught in a storm in the Sea of Galilee, we have read about it and talked about it before. They were in the middle of the Sea of Galilee one night, going across, and a big storm came, and Jesus was not there with them. And they were afraid of their life, that they said they thought they were going to perish in that big storm. And when they start crying out, and we know that what happened after that, Jesus walked on water and came to them and said, don't be afraid, it is I. So when we get ourselves in a situations like that, when we are afraid of our future, when we are afraid of our own existence and our health or our future, remember, God has already been there, because the dust of His feet are the clouds. So whenever you feel like gloomy on a gloomy rainy day, go outside on your porch or deck, pull out a little chair and look at the sky, and look at the dark clouds there and say, Lord, these clouds are the dust of your feet, and I know that you are in the clouds. Isn't that so wonderful? Isn't that so comfortable to know that God is there controlling everything? And give it to God, all your circumstances. And He's so powerful, and He's so faithful. He's almighty, and He will guide you and take care of your situation. May the good Lord bless us these words as we go from this place. Be encouraged that the dust of his feet are in the clouds. Amen. The closing hymn is hymn number 128, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought. If you are able, please stand. 128. People of God, go in peace, knowing that even through the worst of storms and tornadoes that we may have to go through, which are realities in life, remember, God is present in those clouds. Look at the heavens, and He is in control. So be encouraged and be strengthened in your faith as you go from this place. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you, now and forevermore. Amen.
Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.